Well, 8 years ago, yours truly and my two confederates in crime here met at the CPAC convention in Washington back in 2009, I want to say. Yeah. And we'd been fans of each other's work and we hadn't met. So then suddenly we meet each other in 3D. We step across the street and history is made. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott. And this is your right angle on CPAC 2017. And especially about some of the changes that have happened in CPAC and the conservative Republican movement in the time since then. First of all, guys, this is going to be familiar to both of you, but probably not so much to our viewers. I turned around the corner, was going to meet Steve Green in the bar down there. I know that's going to come as a big shock to most people.
Huge shock.
But I turned the corner and he was facing away at an angle and all I saw was a martini glass on a desktop. And I said, that's probably our guy. Walked up to him and said hi. And then I realized something, again, that probably not too many of our viewers realized. Steve and Scott and I together have done 3,000 shows, I would say. 3,000 yeah. shows. We've met every single week pretty much for 8 years and basically talk like friends 3,000 times. But I think I've met Steve Green in the flesh. This was probably our fourth time, I want to say, Steve,
maybe
something like that.
Maybe five, maybe?
Yeah. 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 So it's a little better in 3D. Steve, I want to get your impression of just basically how things have changed, not just on our show, but just in the world in general, CPAC and everything from 2009 to when we just caught up with each other just last week.
Well, you know, 2009, that was my first CPAC ever. PJTV, our old network, had just launched a couple of months before in time for the Republican and Democratic conventions before the big election. And I got to tell you, you know, for a conservative conference, it was just a funeral procession, you know.
Yeah, except not so cheery.
Yeah, without the fun you get, you know, at a New Orleans funeral procession, I guess. But, you know, Obama had just been sworn in. The stimulus had just passed. We were all kind of slack-jawed at the idea of another $850 billion getting added onto these deficits that we just spent the last 8 years critiquing the Bush administration about. It was a little tiresome. And over the years that followed, I think all of us kind of found our groove, a way to lift those gray clouds so they weren't omnipresent. But it was always a reactive mode. The president has this unrivaled, unparalleled ability to set the national agenda, which I think is far greater scope than the founders ever intended. But the president does have that power now, and we spent all that time reacting. And yeah. Now we are proactive. And Kurt Schlichter put a column out, I think yesterday in Town Hall, talking about his experiences at CPAC. And he said, you know, we're the dog that caught the car. Now what? But yeah. There's no more exciting question than now what, is there?
No, but here's something I'm interested in. Scott, so let me talk to you. We missed you terribly at CPAC, and we're gonna do a Dal pack or something, a Dallas pack between now and, let's say, 4th of July, because we all need to be in the same place. Yeah. We missed you very much. We've been doing this for 8 years, 9 years now, something like that. And I was wondering, Scott, two things from you. First of all, how does it feel different today now that it's an actual business and if not a livelihood, then at least some income? And secondly, one thing I did notice at CPAC was that, and I've noticed it elsewhere too, was that the horrific bloodbath rift of Trumpers versus never Trumpers seems to have closed quite a bit, if for no other reason than through the excellence of the nominees and appointees that he's made. So I was wondering if you want to talk on how things might have changed since 2009 and in fact since last November.
Well, for me, CPAC is frozen in time as 2009, because that's the only one I know. You know, that's so. I assume that it's similar today with a different cast of characters, or maybe the same cast of characters, and they're just a little more gray around the temples as I am. But you know, I remember that first encounter because I had seen Stephen Green's. I hadn't read his stuff because Vodka Pundit just didn't sound like it was for me for some reason. I had seen him do sort of run and gun commentary on the streets at the Democratic National Convention, which I think may have been in his home state that year.
Yeah, it was Denver.
And some kind of disturbance was happening in the streets, and he had to ad-lib this kind of coverage of it as he's walking along, you know, seeing, I think it was Michelle Malkin was getting shouted down by, Who was it? Yeah, Alex Jones or Jones, some crazed maniac. Anyway, but Steve was just incredibly clever. And of course, I hadn't read anything that Bill had written either because he was mostly a long form blogger at the time. And I had no patience for long form, no matter how good it was. And so, but I did have this reputation of Bill that preceded him that, you know, lightning bolts came out of his eyes and thunder from his arse. And I really thought.
Or vice versa.
Yes, that's right. And I was going to see this guy was going to be about 9 feet tall. And so
thunder part may be true.
It was.
Go ahead.
It was. I mean, we did this panel discussion there with Glenn Reynolds and Zoe Rachel and Bill moderated and then some other guy whose name I always forget. But and didn't know at the time. But anyway, Bill just it seemed
Delroy,
to me. What was that?
Delroy.
No, it was John something.
Okay.
John something. But anyway, it was a great panel discussion. You can still find it on YouTube, I believe. At least it used to be. Maybe it's not anymore. But anyway, so that was my first encounter with these guys. And since then, I think, you know, it's amazing to me. We are sort of the Gunsmoke of internet television, this long-running series that is, and you have to be of a certain age to get that reference.
Yeah.
And now I think, I mean, I am living in this day-to-day thing of saying, hey, good appointment, Mr. President. That's not a bad idea. I don't agree with everything he does, but he's made some solid appointments. I mean, obviously for the Supreme Court and for the Attorney General and for the National Security Advisor. And a lot of these appointments, I think, are really a good idea. And I'm kind of like, I think I'm together with Donald Trump when he says his accomplishments, he would grade an A. His communication, he would grade a C.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he just said that like yesterday or today. I think
good
he said
for him,
that
actually.
Like a Breitbart. Now, I'm not sure I would give him a hearty C, but a bouncy C.
Give him a C, a bouncy C.
That's right. But in any case, what I'm trying to do right now is tune out the hullabaloo and just focus on what he's actually doing. And for the most part, I like what he's doing.
Hey, Scott, may I ask you a question? If you figure out a way to tune out the hullabaloo, let me in on it. Please.
It's a slider.
I have no idea.
On the software I've got here in the control center. I'll turn down the suck a little bit and reduce the hullabaloo, and then I'll turn up the awesome just a little bit. Yeah, that's great.
We're recording this, by the way, before the president speaks to Congress. So
that's right.
By the time you see this, I'm sure there'll be a whole new level of hullabaloo of which I am currently unaware.
Right. That's right. Well, I noticed a couple things, ladies and gentlemen, in the time that I'd been away, because I'd only been there the year after. I went to 9 and 10, and I haven't been in a long time. One thing I noticed is it's better to win than to lose, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
As Steve said, the first CPAC was like a funeral procession, but, you know, not so peppy. This time, everybody was on fire. Of all the things I saw at CPAC, the thing that impressed me the most and made me the happiest by far, gave me a nice warm feeling, actually, where there were lots and lots and lots of young people, lots and lots and lots. We're used to seeing, you know, groups of Tea Party Republicans or Republican women's clubs, and the average age is, you know, deceased. But these people were young and enthusiastic and switched on and smart and great. But I will just close with this one thing. It's better to win than lose, and we are all sitting here after 8 years still doing the show, and just the fact that the show is still on the air is an amazing testament, actually. But there was something about the 2009 CPAC that was different than this one, because we were just inventing everything. It wasn't a business then. It was the final frontier. Television on the internet, we're going to do what? How's this going to work? And so on. And Andrew Breitbart was there, and I barely knew him. He said, "You want to go out to dinner with Ann Coulter?" And I had heard of her, and it's like, yeah, why not? And everything was so exciting and so new. 8 years of Obama basically beat all that joy out of us. But here we are, still doing it again. Now, Steve and Scott have not heard about this, and I'm not going to give them the details until after we tape today. But I've been talking with some people, and I think maybe it's time after the CPAC for us to re-jig the show just a little bit. Some things that we'd all been talking about doing, Steve, Scott, and I all been wanting to do. So I don't want to leave them in suspense or you in suspense, but I get the feeling that starting next week, they're going to look and feel a little different, hopefully a little more energetic than this, you know, liturgy of doom and gloom that you get from us every single week here at BillWhittle.com. No, we've enjoyed doing the show. We're going to keep doing the show. The show's not going anywhere. Thank you all very much for your continued viewership, and we will see you next week.